start.
All right, here we are. 4 weeks later. Super excited for this. I was really looking forward to getting down and getting the details of the post analysis of Cape Epic, right? Obviously, you both survived. We're here. We're talking about it. Let's dive into it. After our first initial podcast discussion, I think it's the best thing we should do on starting off is to ask each of you off the bat, give me a high and a low, something that was great, high, loved it, and then something that was tough, low, difficult. And I know we're not prompted, so it's going to come straight off your, I know Fernando wants to go first.
Nobody's
here. Morris go first. But give us a high and give us a low, because I know you had many of both.
No, more, I would say many, many of the highs.
Yeah.
Big range, big organization, a strong organization. They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
And lows, I would say exactly in the same. It is... Just the trip is long, mm-hmm. then for you guys out there planning to do it, just plan to go a couple of days or maybe a week before.
Getting out there before, check out the landscape, get everything tested out.
Take vacations.
Oh, take a vacation. Yeah. Okay.
And ride the vacation, you know?
Yeah. Ride the terrain.
Yeah.
All right, Fernando.
There are so many, as Boris said, the best organized race I ever been. And it's incredible. I think the highest for me is feeling like a pro again.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the beginning when you go every few seconds, both together, and you are in this ramp, and it's like, oh, I'm here in Cape Epic.
Looks like the Tour de France.
Wow.
And
cameras everywhere, people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The lows is relative, but because you have many dark moments when you're riding. I didn't have anything in particular that really was negative. I think maybe at the end when the race finished. It finished like suddenly, everybody disappeared. They start taking out the tents and so on. And like, I felt like, okay, this is done. I don't know what I expected, but that's kind of the low. We finished a bit of that.
Yeah. Kind of wanted to keep it going.
Right.
Yeah. So did it live up to the hype as a physical challenge, like as a cycling the technical aspects, obviously there was a ton of climbing. Did it live up to the hype? Because both of you are very positive coming back, and we'll get into a little bit more on details, but did it live up? Was it a monster of, and you both have done a lot of events, so there's a lot of comparison and parallels to other events, but did it live up to this?
Yes. Definitely. From the beginning, from there was no rest whatsoever. You think, I did a few marathons or several days, and there is a day that is easier. There was no easy here. Everything, even the last day, was like go, hard, climbing. It was hard. It was, it took everything out of my energy, my soul, in a good way, right?
But
yes.
Yeah.
It is a race. And at some point, your mind can go to, okay, I'm tired, I'm not race anymore.
Yeah.
But everyone is in race mode.
Yeah.
Then, every day you really, really kind of measure yourself,
mm-hmm.
to be able to wake up the next day. But you really go to the edge every day.
What was a motivator every day? Because I know there was a, I followed it, there was a ranking, right? So you could see where the pros were, they collect the stages, they'll have times, was that a motivator? Were you motivated, let's just finish the stage? Were you motivated by, let's beat these guys in front of us? Was it?
I think we were together in the same mode that we really want to finish strong.
Yeah.
Finish in the way we can come back and tell the story.
Yeah.
I really enjoy a really good ride. Then I don't think we really talk about tomorrow special. We're going to do this. We're going to do this.
No.
I think it was mostly for, we leave up through the day to go to the night and get together, wait some time, drink some wine, everything. but yeah, it was like a more like the experience and really live up through the experience and the race itself. I don't think that in some point, I mean, every day was really hard every day. But yes, I don't remember that we say, oh, tomorrow we wanna.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, that's a good question.
A good question.
I think for me, and this sounds a bit of a cliche, but honestly, it was the people. You know, you see everybody excited and nervous in a different way. Not like in an Ironman, which, you know, everybody's freaking out because of the swim. This one, you could see the people like ready to go.
Yeah.
And that human energy, I think, was a bit of a motivator. And then, of course, you start counting days, like almost if you were in jail, you know, like in a good way, it's a kind of a weird feeling, right? You want to stay there, but you want to finish. Mm-hmm. And you say, okay, yeah, I want to get done with this day, right? So go. That's my, in any way, the way I think of this. But I do enjoy, but at the same time, I want to start so I can finish. And yeah, that's my motivation.
So you were living day by day almost. You weren't thinking about tomorrow, the next day, this stage, the next stage.
No, I wasn't thinking. I was every day by day. And as Boris said, every day, we'll talk about that, but we went dinner, shower, whatever. And then a good couple of glasses of wine and just enjoy the moment, and then next day will be next day, right? So that was the way. And I think
we knew about the challenge, we knew about the climbing. Every day is climbing. I mean, there is no day that is the day is shorter, is a time trial.
Yes. So
then there is no day that you say, oh, it's easy tomorrow. No, there's no day like that.
Then
some days you climb from the beginning, some days you climb on the end, but like you always climb.
Right.
And you see those guys from the first day, from the prologue. You see the Europeans, the mountain, born and raised people training in the mountains. You clearly saw that and compared to the Texans.
Yeah.
But hey, I can tell you, we fight. We fight hard.
Yeah.
We pass a lot of Europeans as well.
Yeah. That's a good point, because it's a couple's racing, right? So you get the motivation passing people, right?
When
they pass you, it's a bit of a, okay, let's go.
Little battles.
And there were many of those, because there's thousands of people, right? So it's 1,500 people.
Yeah. So, did you, is this the first time for both of you to have to ride to finish together each stage? Like, let's review. You have to finish it. So that's an interesting dynamic, right? Like I joked, I think, about it in the first podcast, like we may have some stories on that, right? Like there has to be, over this whole time, there was a time where like Boris was like, nah, this Fernando, or Fernando was like, what's going on with Boris? There had to be a low moment. There had to be some kind of like disagreement, or hey, I think you could do this, or there had to be something there.
Now look at this. Very good stories about working together. We have different fitness.
Mm-hmm.
Fernando is lighter, stronger, he climbs fast.
Mm-hmm.
I can do
not in KP, but
we find out that I'm a good climber.
Yeah,
but I'm a good climber. I'm not a fast climber. I'm just constant climber. That means we really work together to get in the best way as possible, and we use the bell in the bike.
Yes,
and it was like we were climbing. A lot of people climbing. We were in there with a lot of people, and then we ring the bell just to have an answer. Then if I ring the bell, I'm in the front. I don't see Fernando. I can't see Fernando.
Yeah.
Then I ring the bell to see if Fernando is coming. If Fernando ring the bell, it's because he's coming. If he doesn't, is too far or something like that.
So we ring twice if somebody was in trouble. That was our
trouble. That was your signal.
The signal.
And people believe we are looking for, hey, make a room for us.
Yeah, they tell you coming. Yeah.
Everyone's suffering and saying, hey,
yeah, here we go.
Definitely the dynamic of riding with somebody else is different. You have to accommodate.
Yeah.
You have to be accommodated. And it's difficult, you know, we have a similar but different way to do this. And the good news is that we end up being friends.
You're still friends.
We did complain one time.
One time we stopped.
We stopped.
We stopped, fix it, like maybe 10 seconds, maybe 20 seconds.
Yeah, the whole fight maybe last 5 minutes until we stop.
Yeah.
And say, okay, well, let's figure this out. And like a marriage couple.
Yeah, so, like, a little therapy session.
With a therapy session and say, okay, we remember we promised that it will only take 20 seconds. So let's count 20 seconds and go. And then we did that. Okay.
And that was it.
And then we didn't talk for a minute or two. And then we went. And then nothing else happened. We never touched the topic again.
It's amazing.
And it was just we were both tired.
It was things of racing. Just small things.
Yeah, because I know individually, if you're going to ride that long, you're going to have some internal battles, right? And you just add another person into it.
We ride similar, but we are totally different
person. Yeah.
That's it. We ride similar. We love bikes. We love mountain biking. That's the only thing we have in common.
Yeah.
Then we need to be clear on that. I mean, absolutely. But it is a really, it's not a race to taste. To test the friendship. It's not because of that.
Yeah.
But you have a clear rules, then you have a clear expectations.
Yeah. Sure. That's good. How many hours were you riding total?
Six to seven
per day. But a total, I didn't check.
I wonder
per day. 6-7 per day.
Yeah, but a total.
I didn't check. You added up. I bet it was pretty.
What did you say? 8 days? So make 50 hours.
I will check that, but I didn't check.
Close probably to 60 hours riding.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
No, it's not only that, because you almost asleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wake up. And then go dinner and just say goodbye before bed. I mean, it's just really, really the tent, sleeping in tents, all this stuff. Everything is pushed to a niche or a momentum that you continue living up to the day.
Yeah, that's interesting. That must be one of the draws of the Cape Epic, right? Cape Epic brings people who do it want to go back. People who do it want their tell their friends and their teammates, and there's something of the draw or the aura about it is interesting. So let's talk about this tent. So like you're riding 6-7 hours a day, you're climbing, it's hot, and then you got to sleep in a tent.
Yeah,
like what's that about?
That's some people I'm surprised complain about it. We both agree that this was for me was great. The tent was great. It was big enough. They have
4 inches mattress.
And then you have space. And compared with other things I did, like Marathon des Sables, this was like a hotel, a 5-star hotel. I had no issues whatsoever. Yeah. I slept well. And I think
there was a couple of nights that was a storm.
There were a couple of nights that
like a rainstorm,
kind of tornado.
Ooh.
I mean, some of the tents and some of the big tents for the marketing and stuff just fall apart or blow up.
You slept too?
The night, the tents just move and everything was. I mean, we lived through the stations. In fact, we came to almost one day was 115 or 17 degrees.
Yeah.
And then other 2, 3, 4 days after it was raining and maybe about 72, 67 degrees.
Wow. So you saw all the weather. But I didn't even ask. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the tents were. If you don't do that, I'm surprised people, if I would advise somebody to do it, I'd say, I go on a tent. I don't want to go to a hotel. This is the part of the whole experience, And there were better tents, actually. And I didn't even want it to be the better tents. These were tents that were a bit more luxury, I guess, bigger. This was perfect for us.
A quick explanation. Every single camp, they have 3 camps, okay? They move the race 3 days here, 3 days here, 3 days here, something like that. Maybe 2 days in some place. then these places are vineyards or big farms, big thing. You have a space, big for 2,000 people and food and stuff, hospital, yeah. Everything. They move everything.
Yeah.
Those are close to a small cities or small towns.
Mm.
Okay. Then local people who drives their own car,
yeah,
city or from other places in the kingdom.
And they're professionals also.
Or yeah. Professionals, they have, or either they go to hotels or even Airbnbs or things like that.
Yeah.
Or stay in RVs.
Yeah, RVs, yeah.
They have
yeah.
RV camp close by, mm-hmm. the showers and stuff. They have different levels. So I would say different levels, different options. As Fernando say, if I buy somebody to go enjoy the full version of the race, which is go to a tent, wake up, go to the shower, that mobile shower,
mm-hmm.
go to the restaurant, spend some time on there. They have some kind of rider zone, a big zone with a fake grass, with a turf, and a lot of sofas and pillows everywhere, and TVs, and you charge everything you need to charge.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Then you spend most of your free time in that place.
Yeah. Got it. So did you meet people? Was there a community? Was it, were you hanging out with other riders from different, all over the world and kind of building any kind of?
We met, we met a couple of people that Boris met in another race in Portugal. These guys were from Argentina. And then you come across people from all over the world, which is fascinating, you know, and,
mm-hmm.
And then, you know, basically you share either a breakfast or the dinner with them, or you talk a little bit about the race. That's another part where maybe we did it a little different. I was more into, I took an opportunity to, you know, think and to go on my space. And not on purpose, I love talk to people, but that's what I did in this particular case. And Boris, and I were not always together all the time. You know, we went to dinner at different times. Then we got together for dinner, and we always end up having our famous bottle of wine. But
yeah.
But besides that, we hang out with different people sometimes.
Mm. Yeah,
we have our own space, not on purpose. It just happened, no. Right?
No. Yeah.
We were like, yeah.
We're so, spending your whole day together on the bike.
Exactly.
You probably need a little time.
Of each other, right?
You need a little time away.
When we came from South Africa, we spent maybe about a week that we don't even ride met in Houston.
When you got home, you need a little breather.
Enough of break.
Yeah. Yeah, low intention. I mean, loving really.
Yeah, yeah. That's it. There's a lot of intensity to that closeness for those, you know, and a little bit of pressure. You know, you got to live up to this. You got to live up to that.
Yeah.
You're in this together. You each got to carry your load. It's not easy. Yeah. How was the trip out there? You're clear across the globe, right? Like,
yeah.
How was that trip? Was it?
It was long and tedious, right? We were in economy class and for 22 hours.
22 hour door to door?
We flew to, or even a bit more. We flew to New York, and then from New York, we flew directly to Cape Town.
Oh, sweet.
And,
okay.
It's a new flight, by the way. And we had to do that. Direct flight, but it's long.
We had to do that.
So nice.
Yeah, we slept and drink some wine and watch some movies. And then when we got there, we packed, we brought to a couple of issues that we have with the bicycles. And overall, the trip was, you know, it's just long.
It's
right?
Long.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's long.
Yeah. And then when you get there, couple days before the race?
Couple days.
Yeah.
Couple days. And what did you do those couple days leading in?
Yeah, we figured out the bikes. I don't know.
The same night we arrived to our Airbnb, really beautiful Airbnb.
And this is in Cape Town?
It's close to the start of the race.
Okay.
It's about maybe 45 minutes out of Cape Town.
Out in the country, in the hills.
Yeah. In the wine estate.
Yeah, the vine.
The vine estate. Yeah. Then we just put the bike together and we find out a couple of mechanical, really strong mechanicals. I had one piece that it was fractured on the seat post, the clamp. And Fernando lost the spacer that secured the
handlebar.
The handle.
Yeah.
Two important things, your seat and your steering, your handlebar.
And mine is easy. I would say mine is because it's just kind of like every.
It was a standard piece. Mine was
Nobody. First time everyone see a Pinarello like this on that.
Was that the only Pinarello you saw the whole time there?
There was one more.
One or two more, but that not many.
We went to a couple of mechanics and we went to a bike store. Nobody had what we needed, and we started like, okay, how do we figure this out? We end up making a little bit MacGyver. Remember MacGyver?
Yeah, MacGyver.
Yeah, we kind of a bottle plastic. We needed a rigid piece of plastic. We got a water bottle. We cut it. We put it inside with a little bit of aluminum foil. And we put it there. We stick it with a bit of everything, you know, boom, boom, boom. And then
they will. And then grind and say, nothing happened. Okay, we're not gonna touch.
Yeah.
Did you forget about it after a while?
We tried.
Yeah.
The first day, I was thinking, should I go to a mechanic? I said, you know what? Let's leave it the way it is. And then, until I came back, I finally found the piece and put it.
And the first day was tough. I mean, the first day they called it prologue. It was a big climb, and after the climb, a big downhill. Fast. I mean, not downhill like this. Most of the time in the downhills there, were a little like a sneaky downhills with ramps and stuff like a very, very controlled. This one is straightforward, about 23% downhill, uneven, dry.
Yeah.
You break and was just
dust,
dust everywhere. And we tried it for the day that bike. Oof. And you were ahead. I was in the back. And in that downhill, I lost my brake, my back brake. Mm. It was so warm. It was so hot.
Oh, the disc heated up. Yeah.
Woo. Done. Yeah. I was telling Fernando, I have no brake.
Ring the bell.
And I was in the front and just literally the saddle on my belly.
Yeah.
I have no drop.
No dropper post, No,
that was the only mechanic.
And that day, I went to the mechanic. And they put it on
dropper post. Yeah.
The same day.
Wow. And then, what did you get? A new rotor, or did it cool off and it was fine?
No, I just, the brakes, pads.
Oh, brake pads, yeah. Yeah, that's incredible. So, I was following it on the app, but I also listened to a daily podcast. They were interviewed two pros who were racing it, and they were in the pro field, obviously. And they would talk about, it was like a 22-minute like recap. And they talk about each event, and they talked about the prologue, they talked about the time trial. Then they talked about a couple of stages that they had to cut short, right? Mm-hmm. One was weather-related. I think it was heat, and then maybe one was rain.
Yes.
So Kim, talk about that a little bit.
We hit every weather that you know of.
Yeah.
We had warm, cold, wind, heat, rain, all of the above. Mud, storm. Dry, mm-hmm. storms, everything. So day by day, you didn't know what to expect. Hmm. And it was, it made part of the challenge, right? So we faced every single weather conditions that there is on this planet.
Then a lot of red dust in the first 2-3 days, mm-hmm. climbing red dust.
Yeah.
And then we changed to another area where there is a black soil, and then rain.
And then rain on top.
And then rain on top. Then the black soil, literally, we walk for 40 minutes, maybe 1 hour. Everyone.
Yeah, the pros actually said they had to walk, too.
They walked.
Yes.
It was sticky. I mean, to be honest, you were not able to push the bike because bike was sticking in mud.
Yeah,
you're pushing. You're really dragging.
That's incredible.
Then we have a couple of storms when they stop the race from 7 a.m. to maybe 10:30 a.m.
Yeah,
make it short the last day.
Yeah,
because the storms were lightning, a lot of lightning, and a lot of stuff like that in the mountains. Mm. Every day was a Monday. I remember that Fernando and I looking the first day. Oh, look at that small view. Oh, that's super high, but that's super far.
That was your mountain every day.
That was one.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's daunting for me to sit here and think about like the magnitude of this thing, right? Like. You know, I could see doing one day, you put all your eggs in one basket and you go for it. But to get up and do it over and over and over again is really, really, really impressive.
We had massages.
Massages was good. And then the mechanic. Body thought I was kind of against getting in case that would be against me.
If
I get a mechanic, something would break. So, then dinner and everything else was covered. When you finish every day, you have meals. That was actually
impressive. It's like a little city, little village of people.
It's like a little village. Yeah. That's a good way to describe it.
A little village. They build a village.
And then they move it twice, you said? That's incredible.
And everything is in the same place.
Cookie cutter from one to the other?
That's almost a copy of
it. Your tent is in the same place?
I don't know if they have maybe places at the same time, and the first move to the third, because to be honest, it was super well, built and everything clean. Biggest pages, very well designed.
Plenty of food, no lines, like everything was good, right?
Chips, you have chips, many chips.
Yeah, we struggled a couple of times with not to be repetitive, our wine. The first day they'll sell the wine, but nobody was drinking wine. All except us, and then you know, second day you had to go and walk, you know, like half a mile to get it, and we end up asking, to the pros table, they had some wine. Of the sponsors had some wine. We asked, hey, you know, today we couldn't get the wine. Can you share? And they were like, oh yeah, sure. And so we got our wine there. But then that was our little thing every day.
Your ritual.
Our ritual.
So you're in these little camp villages. You're riding out in these beautiful vineyards. Did you get any taste of South Africa outside of like the village, the people, the culture, the village, any of that?
Yes. Then look at this. They have every day like water stop.
Yes.
In the water station.
Just one per day?
No, they have two or three per day. Okay. The length of the day. They have two or three, but three, but it was maximum. Very well. You have a medic first, and then normally you have irradiation, you have water, and then you have special irradiation. They have a little food, they have a lot of food. People give you even potato, really good food, really. You have really good food, and at the end, you have mechanics. But the mechanic, you have on demand mechanic, and you always have chain lubricant.
Yeah,
you just the bike, and there's 2, 3, 4 guys, put lubricant, you move.
Yeah,
I can tell you that. When I
read, they were locals, by the way. They were locals from some locals.
Yeah.
In some of the stations, they have kind of a school of kids dancing.
Yeah.
Local music.
Yeah.
And one of them I stopped.
That's good. Yeah.
And I tried to dance with them.
Did you? Do you have a video of that?
I had a video.
They have to drop that into this podcast.
With them. Beautiful.
That had to be early before you got tired, too.
I'm telling you this. We were not racing. We were racing, but we were enjoying. We stopped fast. We did everything very efficient.
Yeah.
But we really were enjoying the nature, the views, the mountains, the rocks, the people, the life. Really, there's no way. I mean, it's not worth it to go that far and just be focused on your bike.
It's not worth it.
When we passed through some of the vineyards, the locals, the owners were there, or the people that were enjoying the vineyard that day were there cheering up, and that was a good welcome kind of feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Those vineyards were amazing, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of it's private land that you're going through. Yes. And they're allowing, they're working
only for that race.
For that race.
Some on the video.
Yeah. And that's it. That's a unique perspective.
We passed through some tunnels like that one. See the mud on that part of the video as well. Really muddy.
Yeah, that brings back some nightmares.
Oh, yeah. The chain, the chiefs. It was a mess. Yeah. And then you climb.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
The maximum you have is the eagle.
Yeah.
But you have a Ram Eagle, which is the big one you have.
Yeah.
The maximum you have the eagle, you climb and it's not enough.
And then you
have the eagle.
You go enough? See, it's this big. It's long enough.
Yeah, that's and these downhills that were twisted.
Oh, beautiful. That's important for South Africa. I think it's important to say they have a bunch of mountain bike parks.
Yeah.
I mean,
impressive.
Yeah. Eight ramps.
Yes.
Beautiful. It's so beautiful. I really enjoyed that. It was the happiness. It's crazy. Beautiful. You feel bro?
Yeah. It's incredible to feel, and I know it's been 4 weeks, so maybe you have, you know, the pain and suffering has subsided and you're bringing up the positive feelings from it. But both of you have you just have this energy talking about that's so positive and happy. Yeah. Not always the case. Like Fernando just did the Ironman Texas 2 days, 3 days ago, week ago. Yeah. I don't even know how many days ago.
Last weekend.
Yeah. Last weekend, right?
3 days.
If I ask him about Ironman Texas, he's not going to talk like you're talking about the happiness, right? You're not.
No, it's just another race, right?
Yeah, it's a different. So this has, you know, so if somebody's out there and they're like, Cape Epic, I watched your first video, now I see you guys come back. Like, there is a positive feeling and vibe and a different experience than one where you're going, you're chasing a clock, you're chasing a time. This, you are competing, you're racing, you're giving everything you have, you're pushing yourself to the limits, but you're also experiencing something bigger, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a different type of adrenaline and experience and feelings. And it's one of those races that, you know, you will repeat for sure, but it's one of those that you just want to absorb the memories, keep them with you. And
it's
beyond the race. Beyond
the race, yeah. And do you feel like you came back a different person? Did you come back? Did it bring something special to you? Did it change you at all? I mean, maybe your friendship, but maybe you personally, you said, Fernando, you spent a lot of time kind of reflecting on some things. Did you, or you know, you took this challenge on, you've overcome some things in the past, you know, some injuries in the past to take on. Literally, you bring up Cape Epic to a mountain biker, they're like, oh, whew.
There is a reason for me that it was a part of the wish list. It's almost impossible to finish something like that.
Hmm.
And finish strong. Because it's strong. I mean, we suffer every day. We made peace with the suffering, which is very important.
Mm-hmm.
Because we knew that every day we'd be suffering, and not a little suffering. It was a lot of suffering from the first 30 minutes, okay? Mm-hmm. Because we were going a good pace. I mean, we were not really just going on walking on the park. It was important, I would say, for me that I would finish something like that. Strong, finish, complete. And we are not young guys. Then finish complete, and you'll be able to see all the people around you finishing and the happiness of that. I think that you'll make some peace with myself on other things that I wasn't able to finish before.
It's beautiful.
That's good.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, for me, I think it was a bit on the mountain bike side. You know, I did some mountain bike races like Leadville and Transportugal. This was at the top of all of them. And it made me feel like, okay, if I go back to any of those other ones, I'll do much better. It improved.
It's raised the bar.
It raised the bar for me. And then this is probably top five on my list of the...
All of the event. The 200 event. You have 200.
Yeah. We've got 220 at this point. But basically, it's at the top five now because of the size, because of the journey of... It's special. It's different than a one-day event, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the feeling of the professionalism of the race and everything else, and everything was so well done, from the numbers of the bike, which is like not like any other race, the medal.
You had suitcases, they have the whole, you know, the starting, and I'm sure we'll drop some clips down on the video, but the starting block, you know, was like the Tour de France when they do the time trial, right? You get up there, they're counting, that's three, amazing, two, one, and it's, you know, it's lined with barriers, people, sponsors, helicopter, like it's Yeah, that, it's going to be hard to top. You know, you roll up to the Austin Rattler in up there in Spicewood or wherever, it's not going to be the same.
Yeah, exactly.
This one's going to be hard to match.
It's a good race. It's a big race. It's a good race.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hard to, we're talking for another. What is the next? The next is going to be...
How do you top this?
Yeah.
For me, it's one of the... if it's not on the top, it's close to the top.
Yeah, like what would you, what event is out there that is?
Well, this has another three or four, Andorra and Croatia. And what's the other
but
one?
This is the queen.
But this is the queen.
Yeah. Then we started at the great.
You started at the top. Yes. Yeah. No, you can fill in, but this is the top.
I had a goal and I'm going to drag this guy in. The only problem to drag him in all of them, because they are all the four, and this is the queen. Is because one of them is the same day of the same weekend of the Ironman Texas. Angelo Fernandez.
He can't miss it.
one of the four is still.
Yes, there's four person. Guys left.
But anyway, yeah. It's Andorra. It is Switzerland. It is
Croatia.
Yeah,
and missing one.
But
Wales. The Wales to Wales, which is White Wales, which is in South Africa as well. Those four and
so that's the series. Is it the same format?
Yes.
Teams, partners,
shorter.
But sure. So most people would build up to this.
We've been building up to this.
Yeah, yeah.
If you do Leadville, if you do which we both did.
Yeah.
If you do Transport through God, which we both did.
Yeah.
Then you know, this is naturally, I think I was a good next step for us. Is there a more difficult one? There is always a more difficult.
Yeah, there's always something difficult.
So yeah.
We will find it.
You will find it. Would you?
Or the race will find us. So.
Yeah, it'll show up. Is this something you'd want to do again?
I would, but there are so many out there for me. So I would, but it only if I had the space and everything else. The logistics is complicated for this. Of course, the desire to do it, no doubt. But I would maybe do other ones. I don't know, Boris.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah.
If I go back to Cape Epic, will be after doing so much
other
things. Yes. The good thing, and I don't know what Fernando you think about. You were asking about something about the race that is high. I would say that being able to do it with a peer of you same time makes you a better person in a whole.
That's in a good whole. Point. I agree.
I believe from this race, and the reason I'm going to go for the other case in the series, it is because it makes you a better person to work in that deep way and pain.
Yeah,
through the pain, through the suffering, through the good and highs and lows, and be able to be patient and be able makes you a better person.
That's a great point.
Yes. I'm glad you brought that up because
it's a great point.
Honestly, yeah. I talked to you about this as well. It's hard for me to do something with somebody else.
Yeah, because most of these endeavors are individual.
Look at this. Everything without before is triathlon. Triathlon, I mean, we are team players in different scenarios.
Right.
If it's work. But in the sport, we are not the players.
Yeah, individuals.
Yeah.
It's not the players.
So
they've been able to go through this.
Do you know what? You asked me what was a takeaway, or you will ask me probably, and I think that was one of the strongest things I got out of this, is that, I'm now more humble than before, you know, because, I couldn't catch up with Boris many times or I needed him, otherwise we wouldn't finish this together. And that feeling, that experience is fulfilling, you know?
Yeah.
And different. It makes you a better person. Absolutely. It makes you think about, you can do things solo, but you need the team and the partner, yeah?
Yeah, because I know flying to South Africa, the logistics, taking time off work, away from family, spending a bunch of money.
Yeah.
You don't complete it unless Boris finishes. Boris doesn't complete it unless you finish it.
Yeah.
Good point. Yes. Many people, many teams. I remember it was 30-something percent.
Many teams.
30-something percent of the teams didn't finish together. One of the other finish because one of the other abandoned.
You were allowed to finish.
Yeah.
But also, you will not finish as a team.
Yeah. You wouldn't reach the...
Then... there's people. A lot of that did not finish, but there's a lot of teams that finish only one of
with one
a
of them.
Bunch. Okay, we were discussing about day to day because we were talking to friends of mine from Portugal, from other places, and that I met many other races or people that I met in the race. I said, no, I'm going by myself because my beer is not feeling good today.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And every single day, we met somebody saying exactly the same thing. Blaming us.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were really lucky. But you're right. Make you humble because you need to work.
Yeah.
With
together.
And again, sometimes I was trying to catch up with Fernando,
mm-hmm.
and I saw him waiting for me.
Yeah.
And I feel responsible.
It drove you deeper, probably.
Yes. And then I was waiting for him. And then
drove him deeper.
Everything went.
Yeah.
Good book.
Yeah. That's great. If I'm this guy or woman watching this video, and I'm kind of like, that sounds great. I'm a little nervous about it. What advice would you give to somebody who's considering? Like, we talked in the first video, this has been on your bucket list. This has been, I forget your exact quote, but you're like, this is my...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this has been... So there was no question.
Nothing.
Right. But there are people out there that may be intimidated, maybe, you know, it scares me. But what advice would you give to somebody?
There are many tips, but... you know, I was surprised not seeing people walking much. I was surprised of the level of the people. You can't just show up on this race.
Yeah.
You have to do things similar than this before. This is the real deal. And if you're not prepared, so you have to prepare. And, you know, we don't have mountains here, but we have, you know, Swift and the trails.
Yeah,
We did that. And and then you have to go beyond before you get there, and be prepared in many ways, mostly mentally, as I always talk about it. The mental part, your body, your mind will you know, push you on the no, on the negative side many times, and you better prepare. So I don't think this is doable, and many people could argue, and many people probably show up. Maybe first time, but I tell you, you better be a good mountain biker. You see, it is a technical race. The downhills are scary, and the, you know, going up the mountain, you have to have good efficiency, good endurance. So that's kind of, I mean, it's a bit generic, but yeah, for the most part, you have to be prepared for this.
Well, I think that, you know, we sit here and you're positive and you really don't give a lot of, you know, downtime, like too much struggle, does it? Like, and I think it's a good sense of what you got from it, but there's not a lot of like, oh, we were down, we were struggling, even though you respect it. But I think both of you have, like you were saying, Fernando, you're not just training for this. You've been training for decades for this, right? And the race is leading up. And so maybe the experience that you both have coming into it has helped.
Yeah, Maurice, maybe you probably agree with my point, but you know, you probably have some, Maurice is more technical as well, and he probably has some additional tips.
What would you tell him?
I would say train a lot. I mean, this is not a race of choice.
It's not easy.
I mean, you see, Fernando was really make me understand that point, because I was focused on the race the first day, and the first night he said, there was not many people walking. Saying, no, it was nobody. And the climb was, I was suffering the climb.
Yeah.
And I consider a good climber myself. I mean, you know, I'm not comparing with the Europeans, but the level is good. Then, I'm going to totally agree with Fernando. There is two ways to prepare. One thing, it is physically, which is training a lot.
Yeah.
I would say a lot of time on the bike.
Mm-hmm.
Deep time, 4, 5, 6 hours, maybe 2, 3 hours, some two every single day. Yeah, important to feel part of the bike. And mentally, you need to know you're going to struggle. And you need to know your beer. You really need to know how you react to all the things. You need to know what is important for them, what is not important for them, because communication is key. Communication is important. People, when speaking, trying to speak each other in the bikes, it's really hard to speak. Then communication is not only vocal and words communication. It's more than that. You need to work on that. I will say we were lucky because we were really cycling and riding for years now.
Yeah.
Years now. And the last of the advices for everyone, it is possible. It's a race. It's really beautiful. You feel like a pro. You feel part of something bigger. And more than that, is the journey. The race, you deserve the goal.
It's good.
Beautiful.
That's really good. Yeah.
Beautiful race.
Yeah. It's incredible to just sit here and get the feedback, because I've talked to Fernando a couple times since, and you've kind of let on that it was good, but you didn't give me like, this is different, right? Yeah, it's different. It's deeper.
There is a lot more. We're going to put some, I think it'd be good to have a list of things that some are obvious, right, many, but some were not, yeah. Like the thing, you know, on the bike, and a few other things that we learned that we didn't notice people doing this, and so it might be good to have a list, or if not, anybody that is listening can feel free
can to reach out. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So we have a lot of things. I mean, Fernando went with a dropper, I did without a dropper. We went both with the inserts on the bike.
Did you? Yeah.
We have no flats. We have a couple of issues, I mean, escapes and small flats and seals, with a sealant, but at the
you had no flats.
We have two.
It's incredible. And then, so I'm again.
I mean, we have really on this race.
Yeah,
we didn't stop to change a full tire or anything. That was amazing.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's incredible. We saw people everywhere on the road.
The guys I listened to, they had flats every day.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
You know, now, the listener out there that is thinking of this, get to know your bike very well.
Mm-hmm.
You have to, you're on your own in the middle of nowhere, and you have to fix it. And if you don't know how to change a tube or change the chain or change whatever, you have to know your bike and get the mechanics of it.
Brakes, chain, sheaths, saddle, tires.
Yeah, yeah,
important. Do you feel like you had the right equipment, the right bike, right gearing?
Again, dropper. I say after the race,
the dropper
post that I was against for many years.
Yeah, yeah.
Dropper post and make a big change on my entire race.
Yeah.
Huh, and you did that after day one?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, we were.
And your bike? You right gearing,
yeah, no,
tires.
We were careful on the rocks for sure. We were careful in many pieces.
Yeah.
But when I say careful, we were aggressively careful.
Yeah.
Because we were not careful really. I mean, we want to finish the race.
Yeah.
And we have maybe you fall two, three times.
We fall a couple of times.
And myself as well. One of them, I have a lot of scratches. But yeah.
That's my liking, yeah.
Yeah, but to be honest, we were controlling most of the time what we were doing.
Yeah.
Was there did you see a lot of different bikes, different tire choices? I know mountain biking, the full tread.
Full suspension, high-end bikes.
That was everywhere.
High-end.
Everybody had a $10,000 bike.
Yeah, the Tex, the Pinarellos, the don't know many, but then the Specialized.
And it works for everywhere it works.
Yeah. And the European brands as well.
Yeah. Did you meet, so obviously a lot of Europeans, because you've mentioned that a bunch. A lot of South Americans. Did you see many Americans? Did you meet anybody?
Not many, no. We met like a few here.
There's a couple of Americans.
Yeah.
The ones from Oregon. I have contact with the guy because he lives close to my brother. And another couple of West American with,
somebody else. Yeah.
But Americans were not much.
Not many.
Yes.
If I say six, I'm thinking
out of 2,000 or 3,000. Yeah, wow.
I'm actually,
yeah.
People are wondering why my name, Fernando, as an American flag. I said, no, I'm from Uruguay.
I saw in the video you had the flag out. It was cool.
Yeah.
Were you the only one from Uruguay?
Oh, yeah. A funny thing of the flag that you mentioned, when we were finishing the whole race, I took out the flag, and as soon as I put it up, just a few yards before the end, it got trapped in my back wheel, and I crashed. It's in this video, actually, and I crashed pretty bad. Pretty aggressive.
I didn't hear.
And then I had
you didn't see your front?
We were together going into the finish line, and he said, I want to take the flag. And then I hear something, people, oh!
Yeah, and then I untangle it, and then we finished. But it was like pretty hard.
We need to see that. You got to drop that clip in the video.
I have it in my from my GoPro. And
You need somebody to help. Was there race footage? I know they cover the pros, the helicopters. And,
actually.
And we watched some of that. I watched some of that as well. So we put a video together with this.
These were some of the funny moments.
The cut
through some of the.
You at the end, you're suffering and nothing is gonna change that you're suffering, but you need to take that. This is your choice. How you wanna enjoy your day.
Yeah.
And then we were taking pictures. I was posing for pictures. I was a photograph, cameraman. Then I was posing for pictures. I got a picture for my cousin.
I carried my GoPro all the time, so I have close to 200 videos, and I'm gonna compile those videos.
Yeah, you need to make a highlight film.
Yeah.
Showing some of that suffering, also some of the fun as well.
Some of those good moments.
You both were in a good space to be able to accept the fact that it's gonna be suffering, but also enjoy it.
Yeah.
It's two opposites, right? Yeah. And that's kind of part of the special part of these endurance sports that we kind of come here and talk about is from the person looking outside in, you like to suffer, you are happy when you're suffering, you do this to yourself, but they don't understand the depth of it, right? The suffering is where the beauty is, right?
I mean, we know each other, we are competitive. We like to compete. And to be honest, every day we were looking on the positions. I mean, we were not we were looking at the positions every day.
Yeah, yeah.
We lost one today. We lost today one. Okay.
Let's pick it up.
Then, we were competitive, but to be competitive, you need to suffer. There is no way.
I think to even complete it and not walk. Yeah.
Yes, we were suffering on the way we were competing and feeling like a pros in a very big race. In our life.
That's a cool story. Makes me kind of want to do it, but
I should.
The mountain bikes, it's good. So what, to wrap it kind of up, obviously you can't really put one word on your Cape Epic experience, but give maybe a sentence, a phrase, a couple sentences. You know, what is Cape Epic?
So, of course, I cannot use epic, so.
Yeah.
So, as a word. But I think it's, one of the most memorable mountain bike experience. It doesn't even have to be. It's the most memorable experience I had in a long time. And it's... it fulfills everything I ever dreamed on doing something like this. You know?
Something so epic.
Something so epic.
Yeah.
And I feel so so blessed, so thankful that I've done something like this. And, I hope all my friends can do something like this.
This big, yeah. Is it something you'll reference down the road?
As
you have challenges in life and work and other events you can reference?
Oh, yes. But definitely this impacts not only what you did, but what you become and, whether it's professionally, family, friends. It impacts your life in such a way that... it's amazing. So I wish for me it's it's like going to church. You know?
It's your church. Yeah. So what about you, Boris? How do you put it together? Similar?
Very similar. I would say you read the chart. Yeah. The untamed.
Untamed.
What it is?
Yeah.
I was thinking at the beginning. Huh. It's just the south of north of Cape. How much can change?
Yeah.
it changes a lot and makes you as well adjust your dream expectations to the changes.
Nice.
That, again, right, I told you, make you a better person, humble, and as well, you need to take a choice about how you want to see every day, half full or half empty.
Nice.
And I will say that for me, it's been all my life, but I make it part of something tangible on the day by day, and the relationship to somebody else.
Mm.
It is a fact that changed my life, and in fact, changed my professional life. I'm looking on that direction, exactly the direction, and I'm looking forward to be able to share with the guys on the work on that.
It's beautiful. That's deep. That's what sports do.
You should do it. What?
That's what sports do. Yeah. Yeah. Parallels life, changes you for the better, right? You want everybody to be able to do it.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah. Right. You guys are the lucky two.
No, the lucky two. Very lucky.
Yeah. That was good, guys.
Thank you.
That's good. Thank you, guys.
Always good.
That's a wrap. Yeah. I'm proud of you. Proud of you. That's awesome.
Thank you much.
Cool. Love it.